This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had a special on Merlot. And at the same time, I had this thought in the back of my head that I had heard several winemakers talk about winter whites. They were making a winter white. And I needed to know what that was. So along the way, I decided to talk to a number of people to find out, A, did winter whites exist? And B, what are they? I'm going to do a two-part interview with the very knowledgeable head sommelier of David Hawksworth's Nightingale Restaurant in Vancouver. His name is Chris Riley. I'll also be doing a feature interview with the drinks writer of the Winnipeg Free Press, a wine writer and a judge, Ben McPhee Sigurdsson. On board the Judgment of BC bus, I will lay in wait for Curtis Colt from the Georgia Strait, Reese Pender, Master of Wine, and Michaela Morris, wine judge and wine writer. And at the end of the show, three winemakers that I want to talk to and ask about this. Jason Parks from The Hatch, Val Tate from Bench 1775, and Kathy Malone from Hillside on the Naramata Bench. I don't know about you, but I'm keeping a notepad handy. I want to know what these wines are and how I can find them. Winter whites that go with our roasts, our soups, our game, with sausages, everything that we consume that gets us through winter. Where are those whites? Do we really have to only drink red? Let's find out. All right, after the Judgment of BC this year in the Okanagan, we got on a bus and headed for 50th Parallel to celebrate the gathering, all of the judges. We're going to start with two of the best judges anywhere, Michaela Morris and Curtis Colt. I have to ask you a one-off question because I'm thinking about doing a special on winter whites.
Okay.
I heard the term come along and said, what is a winter white? Well, it's a white that can carry itself through the winter menus.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you find that there's such a thing?
Well, I mean, I drink white wine year-round.
But, I mean, would you drink the same whites in summer as you do in fall and winter?
Well, if you offer me a Merceau in July and you offer me a Merceau in January, I will drink it in both of those months. No, but generally in the summer, maybe I'm reaching for a lighter, crisper white, and then in the winter, something that is richer and a little bit fuller.
Such as?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think there's great side steps. So you could have an Alsatian Pinot Gris, and I don't think our BC wines have quite the richness and complexity of some of the Alsace Pinot Gris, but there's some that are making it more in that style. I'm a big fan of Italian wines. I just came back from the island of Sardinia, and this is a very obscure, but there's a grape variety called Nasco, which is an indigenous grape variety there, and it is a richer, fuller white. Most of the producers aren't using oak for it,
yeah.
But I think it has the weight of a Chardonnay. So I think if we see some in the market, I know there's Argiolis is a producer in Sardinia, and they make a great Nasco, and they've been one of the champions of it. So Viognier would be another great example for sort of maybe a winter white as well. Oh, there's plenty of different examples.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Michaela Morris, Curtis Colt. Now, last question. Is there such a thing as a winter white?
I like the Rhone white blends, you know, the Viognier Marsan Roussan, something like a
Levy. What is it about them? Is it their texture? Is it their...
You know, I think that, you know, they have enough oomph to go with, you know, your, like, poultry and game and things like that. Generally, there's going to be some oak on them, bringing some lovely kind of baking spices, clove, allspice, nutmeg, cinnamon. And so you do get those kind of characteristics that may hit winter dishes well. A favorite of mine from Le Vieux Pin, their Ava, is a fantastic example.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
You can find the podcast for this show on the website, tastingroomradio.com. Now, the noise you hear comes from a very busy kitchen, and my guest is part of that. Chris Riley is the head sommelier at Nightingale, David Hawksworth's Nightingale, 1017 West Hastings in Vancouver. I assume that everybody's getting ready for lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always a rocking place when it comes down to lunchtime. We get a lot of the business crowd and convention crowd and hotel crowd that are very close to us, so we get quite a lot of volume, and a lot of times we can't plan it because it's a lot of walk-in traffic, and weather also does play a big factor for us. But we have 180 plus seats here, so we're pretty ready to take on a lot of people.
What is a full house at lunchtime like for you?
Highly energetic, a lot of running up and downstairs.
Okay, I'm doing this special on winter whites. Somebody used the term maybe a year ago, and I stopped them and said, "What? Winter whites?"
Yeah,
and they explained that it was whites that could survive the change of seasons, what we decide to eat, the kind of food that we put on the table over the course of the winter, because we had just gone through 5 months of a patio whites, you know, easy sipping rosés and crisp, nice. I decided to follow this line of thinking. First of all, is there such a thing as a winter white?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think the difference between the two seasons is really quite remarkable. You get you know, things that are quite lovely and light and refreshing, like you said before, maybe a little bit of higher residual sugar in some of the wines, or maybe ones that are like bone dry. But really what the key is the body weight and the texture of the wines. So when you get into like winter wines, to me, I think of things that have a little bit more interest as far as the texture is concerned. So either skin contact or, you know, the grapes themselves tend to lend a bit more weight and glycerol and just tend to be a little bit more like a swaddling effect. And it's great for those people that don't really like to drink red wines or find they have a hard time with red wines. And they're looking for wines that are going to, you know, sort of help them make it through sort of those heavier, richer sort of dishes that we tend to kind of gravitate towards when we get a little bit colder outside.
Hey, Chris, if we were looking for one word to describe perhaps a winter white, would it be texture?
Yeah, I guess texture is probably the biggest thing to me anyways, and I guess weight. And weight is kind of hard, I suppose, for the general wine drinker to sort of understand. But weight can be everything from, you know, the texture of the grape to the weight that comes along from, like, sitting on lees or stirring into lees. Just kind of give you that creaminess that comes into a wine, and sometimes even the fatness that comes from sugar as well. So if a wine has a little bit higher residual sugar, that tends to give a little bit extra weight to it too. And the last factor would be alcohol. What grapes tend to really sort of lend themselves to higher alcohol in a white wine. I have to point out that our menu is quite diverse beyond the pizzas. Chef Phil Scarfone, he's basically really taken on what comes in. So because we have such great relationships with different farms, different vendors in the city, we're always constantly getting new ingredients in. And, you know, like right now, it's all about mushrooms, right? So mushrooms are coming in fast and furious, but it's a very short window. So we're going to have to enjoy these lovely gifts of the moisture that we have from living in Vancouver for a very short period of time, you know, like go about a month or so. And during that time, you know, Phil's really focusing in on mushrooms, what they go with, you know, classical pairings and dishes. And then root vegetables. That's the other thing that we really focus on right now, too, is that. But, of course, pizzas, you know, they do tend to have our favorites that we stay on there all the time. And then we'll go into, you know, sort of seasonal pizzas that we'll do in the meantime, like our we have this pine mushroom, black truffle, Fiorda latte, chive, and truffle pecorino pizza that we have on right now. And it is just fantastic, super awesome. All those woodsy notes that you expect from, you know, the mushrooms. And for $30, it's a wonderful, wonderful pizza.
So I asked you, by the way, he is Chris Riley. He's the head sommelier at Nightingale on West Hastings in Vancouver. A very busy room, and it's going to get noisier as we go. Let's do the first three. You said along six suggestions.
Yes.
So let's take them one at a time.
Sure.
Starting with the 2016 Clos du Soleil.
Yeah, the Capella. Wonderful wine. I actually was really lucky to go to Clos du Soleil just at the end of September, and I was part of their tasting that they do every year, and it's essentially a chance to taste through back vintages of all their wines.
Wow.
They're top-tier wines. So their Signature and their Capella. And what's interesting about the Capella is that it is done predominantly in wood. So wood, again, kind of lends to giving a wine volume. And there's, I think he does a little bit of fermentation in barrel, aging in barrel, sitting on fine lees, adds texture and creaminess. And what was neat was trying these wines from back in the early 2000s and finding out that back then they were using a lot of grapes from not just the Similkameen Valley, but also from the Okanagan Valley.
Right.
And now they've transitioned to 100% Similkameen fruit. So it was neat to see those aged wines and the difference in how the wines reacted depending on how much was from the southern Okanagan and how much was from the Similkameen.
Ah.
So the Similkameen fruit actually stood out way better in my mind. I felt that, you know, the racy acid really sort of held itself up. The wonderful body that those wines sort of relayed on your palate were just wonderful as well. So really a big fan of what Michael does there as far as his white wines are concerned.
Hey, Chris, just a question. Is it the Semillon that settles it down and makes it cellarable?
Well, you know, it's 80% Sauv Blanc and 20% Semillon. So I think the Semillon does give it a little bit of texture. The Sauv Blanc, I think, gives it that acidity, that sure. That nice herbaceousness.
Grapefruit, little lime, you know, just a light oak there.
So it's fermented entirely in barrel, and 55% of those barrels are French oak puncheons. And then there's 45% stainless steel barrels. So about a half and half almost as far as the winemaking is concerned.
Okay.
I think the stainless keeps it nice and fresh. And then, of course, the oak play gives a little bit more volume, a little bit more roundness to the wine.
The last price that I saw on the Clos du Soleil Capella Sauv Blanc Semillon Similkameen Valley was around $27.
Yeah, that's right. $27.90, I think, on their website if you go to them to buy the wine, for sure.
His name is Chris Riley. He's the head somm at Nightingale in West Hastings Street in Vancouver. The brainchild of David Hawksworth. Took him a couple of years to come up with all of this. I'm fascinated by the Haywire Vintage Bub. The Vintage Bub. This is a 2013?
Yes, I believe that is correct. 2013 Vintage Bub.
Wow. So bubble in the bottle, sitting on it for a while. It's $34.90 thereabouts. This is the Seacrest Vineyard. Is that the one they bought?
No, I believe they just did, yeah, actually. Christine was in here, I think, the day that they had sort of finalized the purchase on that. So she was having a bit of a celebration.
She would have been giddy.
Yeah, absolutely. She had a big smile on her face for sure. And, of course, Seacrest Mountain Vineyard is located in Oliver, B.C. It's actually not too far away from Covert Farms. So it's, it's an elevated site. I think they would say it has some beautiful mountain vistas from
McIntyre Bluff.
Yeah, absolutely. So wonderful location. Again, a little higher up to kind of retain beautiful, fresh acidity. I think that, you go lower down into the valley, of course, grapes like Pinot Blanc or Chardonnay, they might tend to get away with you. But if you're a little bit higher up, you can kind of really sort of maintain those beautiful, fresh levels.
Now, your third recommendation on this list of six, we're going to come all the way back to your comments about mushrooms in the fall and winter months.
Yes.
Because this Gustave Lorenz Pinot Gris is absolutely fantastic with mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's funny because if you go take a look at their website and sort of see the things that they mention as far as pairing, and even if you go to the Vin Alsace and you look at what they talk about in their website for Pinot Gris, and it's all about mushrooms. And it's pretty surprising that you would think that a wine with a nice little bit of off-dry would actually pair in with like the woodsiness of a mushroom. But man, we're pretty lucky, again, as I mentioned about the mushroom season. You know, we've got this mushroom risotto that we're featuring right now that is just stellar. And, you know, that Pinot Gris from Gustave Lorenz is just top of my mind when I think about that dish.
I saw the pairing with game and mushrooms and roasts and soft cheeses, etc. I mean, it could be an opener to a dinner, or it can be the main pour for your dinner, right?
Yeah, you know what? It could be almost anything. And it would be so neat to sort of see how that wine would sort of transition itself throughout the course of the meal.
Did I give you the price on that? What is the price on that bottle?
You might be able to find it at select stores, but it's just under $30. It's about $25 to $26.
It's a very handsome label, very old label. Gustave Lorenz Pinot Gris from Alsace. So that's the first three. Listen, I knew this was going to be more than just one segment of this show. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have part two of our conversation with Chris Riley, the head sommelier at Nightingale, and he'll give you your last three winter whites that he wants to recommend for you. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome back. We're halfway through our Winter Whites conversation with Chris Riley, the head sommelier at Nightingale, 1017 West Hastings Street in Vancouver. You can find his links at hawknightingale.com. Welcome back. The second three, I'm going to let you have a run with.
Well, yeah, so the Yalumba, the Angaston, South Australia, the Yalumba. So Yalumba's been around for such a long time. I mean, they've been making wine since the basically late 1800s, right? So I think they say about 167 years of winemaking. This wine itself is a combination of a various different, I think it's 100% Viognier. I like Viognier because, as we were mentioning before, sort of like that volume of a wine and something that can give you that nice sort of swallowing effect. And Viognier is definitely that. And, you know, especially in Vancouver, we are blessed by all the sort of Southeast Asian cuisine that we have in the area. And something like this wine actually can match in with some of those spicier influences, either it be Indian, Thai, or even, say, Northern Africa, as far as flavoring is concerned. So it's a versatile wine.
A creaminess. There was again, the texture of this Viognier is fantastic. Can you cellar that as well?
You know, I think with this wine, this particular brand, which is their Y series, I believe it is more designed for like a drink now sort of situation. But, okay. You know, if your listeners are familiar with things from France like Condriot, man, those things can age.
Did you put a Sicilian in there somewhere?
Yeah, so we are going to jump down to Sicily. And, you know, why I picked this wine was because, of course, we're on the West Coast and we're not obviously, you know, just staying in and eating roasts and eating soups and stews and things like that. We're still going to enjoy, you know, the bounty of the sea, which is right off our coast, whether it be, you know, crabs, oysters, all that fun stuff. So we're choosing this Pietra Dolce Caricante, which is an indigenous varietal to Sicily, notoriously known for being a bit of a late ripener. Mm. And it is actually quite susceptible to high yield. So it needs to be sort of really restrained. But what's lucky about this grape being from Mount Etna is that it is, generally speaking, bush trained.
Oh, man.
And it's a very dry environment, and it's a very stony, rocky, minerally environment as well. So, you know, with that, you get a little bit lower yields. You can kind of obviously make a much more profound wine by limiting how much you get from each head trained vine. And this thing is great because it has such a citrus profile, lemon, a little bit of like that tart, pomaceous fruit, like apples, hints of stone fruit.
Oh, man.
And then it's the racy minerality and the racy acid that this wine has. And it still has some good volume to it again as well. It is grown, I believe, about 800 meters up on the slopes of the north end of Mount Etna.
So and how old would those vines be?
These ones here, I'd have to take a look, but they're definitely a little bit older than you would expect. Some of them probably in the 30 plus years.
Wow. They look, I mean, in off season, they look like they're dead. They look like they're just stumps in the ground, and then they come alive, and it's incredible wine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a big favorite of ours here, you know, and it pairs with a lot of different things that we do on the menu, whether it be, you know, seafood, and even maybe if you wanted to get into having it with like cooked fish as opposed to raw fish, you could get into it that way as well.
Do you know the price on that, Chris?
So again, this would be, you know, limited options at BCLDB. You'd probably have to go to a private store to find this, and you're looking again under $30. Again, from the BCLDB, if you can find it, it's about $25.49.
All right, let's wrap this up with La Navilla.
Yeah, so Casablanca, Chile. So, you know, Chile always offers, in my mind, some fantastic value, and there's definitely a lot of different terrains that offer so many different options for us as consumers here in BC. And, you know, we tend to get actually quite a lot of good variety from Chile in our market. And this is one that we've worked with from day one, which is La Vanilla. And it is not named after vanilla pods. I believe it's actually named after the small little town where this winery is located.
This is Emiliana?
Yes, it is Emiliana, which is, I believe, a subsidiary or a smaller portion from the Banffy family.
Right. They make a lot of wine.
And they do make a lot of wine, but they make really good wine.
La Vanilla is Casablanca is, as I understand it, is Chardonnay, Viognier, Roussanne, and Marsanne.
Yeah, so 68% is Chardonnay, 13% Roussanne, 12% Viognier, and 7% Marsanne.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's all about those bold, big varieties that give you a lot of volume and a lot of weight and a lot of that swaddling effect, you know. And it's a wine that somebody who likes red wine and maybe is forced to have a white wine can enjoy quite lovely.
I'm such a fan of Roussanne Marsanne that the inclusion of Chardonnay and Viognier almost makes me stop and think, well, do I want to go there? But you know it's good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a very well-respected producer. They're organic as well. And Casablanca Valley is like one of those regions in Chile where Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc are planted in the most volume in the area, but it's also like the right kind of location for it as well.
All right. Are you working New Year's?
I will be here, sir.
And will you be pouring a lot of bubble?
I certainly hope we will be. We do have definitely a few options there for our guests to enjoy, for sure. Anything from Cao Sao Xiao all the way up to Krug if they want to.
We may be back for a bubble special as well, Chris.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I'm into that if you got time.
Winter whites. They exist, and you can find, you can find them everywhere, but have a listen. Go to the website, and we'll give you the contact link for Chris Riley, the head sommelier at Nightingale. 1017 West Hastings Street, well worth your time. Make your plans, though, because they are a busy room. David Hawksworth intended it that way, and that's what it turned out to be. Wonderful space. So, Chris, congratulations. By the way, one last question.
Yeah.
What will I always find white in your fridge at home?
Wow, you will. Actually, funny enough, you'll find sparkling wines for sure. I think I have a bottle of Bella Cavada in there right now, a bottle of Piper Heidsieck, bottle of Pinot Blanc from Clos du Soleil, funny enough as well, and then a couple bottles of Bottega, as well as a bottle of Condriot, a bottle of Checkmate Chardonnay. I got a few options, so if you want to stop by anytime, I can pop one open for you.
All right, once again, his name is Chris Riley, head sommelier, Nightingale, in Vancouver. Check him out. Winter whites. We'll go in search of other winter whites from Rhys Pender right after this. This is Tasting Room Radio.
A winter white? I think there is, because I think we change how we eat when it gets colder. I don't know. I feel like I eat more. Is that bad? I just feel like I'm hungrier. And is that's healthy?
That's hunter-gatherer.
Okay, we're in touch with nature. But I think you want something, you know, you're eating more heavier food, you're cooking more stews, you're having like squash and hearty, you know, thick textured foods. And so I think you need wine to go with that. So I find myself opening more of these richer, fuller bodied Chardonnays, white Rhone blends like the Viognier, Marsanne, Roussanne kind of things. Any of these richer white, fuller bodied whites, you just find yourself grabbing for them more off the shelf. Or in the summer, when you're eating a fresh salad and vinaigrettes and things, you're more in the like crisp Rieslings and, you know, Riesy kind of things. So
what then would be your winter white pour?
I don't know. The first one that would come to mind is something like Le Vieux Pans Ava.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a Rhone, Southern Rhone varietal blend and great texture to it, but also a very complex wine. Still got really good acidity and freshness, but just that weight that, you know, you could braise, slow cook some chicken in wine and cream and stock or something like that, and it would just have enough stuffing to... Is it nearly dinner? Are we on the way to dinner?
I'm
getting hungry.
I had the same thought.
It's like, damn it. But yeah, that's what you kind of crave with those kind of foods, right? And so as you're cooking differently, you drink differently, and that's I think we all find we drink more fuller-bodied whites, more red, heavier red wines that when it's 35 degrees in the summer, you just don't want to go anywhere near. We're drinking the Gamay and chilling it down a bit, and lots of rosé, and you know, yeah. So you do change a little bit, I think, for sure, in the season.
Thanks, Rhys.
Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you were invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the Bubbles and Crepes, Cheesy Weekend, Crab Boil, the Bubbles and Barbecue, the Harvest Barbecue, and the days that the Wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We are attempting to understand and come to grips with the, what should we call it, the mirage that is winter whites. I'm sure if I kept doing these interviews that we would find wine experts, judges, wine fans who say there's no such thing as a winter white. I thought I'd go to the land of three named people. Where they understand winter, Ben McPhee Sergetson is the drinks writer and literary editor for the Winnipeg Free Press. He's also a wine educator. He's a judge with Wine Alliance and the BC Lieutenant Governor Awards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ben, welcome to the show. Winter whites, do they exist?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I tend to drink by season. Typically, I'll drink more whites in the summer and more reds in the winter or cooler temperatures or whatever. But I do sort of, I think they do exist, and I think a lot of people probably, I'm guessing that a lot of wine geeks and stuff like that like to sort of go off the beaten track and go beyond things like Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio and Riesling and maybe things that might be better for warmer temperatures and to try to find things that, you know, have a little bit more texture, a little bit more weight, a little bit more flavor, and a little bit more complexity. That's what I would do in the winter.
You know how we always see the term and hear the term patio sippers, summer sippers, right? Mm-hmm. Light, refreshing, easily drunk. And then I start to think about the pairings that, the food, our food changes in the fall, in the winter. And we go to heavier food. We go to stews and sauces and roasts and and root vegetables till I'm sick of root vegetables.
Yeah. It's getting to be that time, isn't it?
And so you want a white that perhaps, especially if you don't drink red, you want a white to carry you through the winter. So there are such things out there. And was it easy to find a list? Did you have to think about that?
I was doing some poking around over the last couple of days in Liquor Marts, Manitoba Liquor Marts, the government-run stores here, as well as private wine stores, and it wasn't that tough. I mean, I think probably selection changed a little bit based on the season too. You're not going to see as many rosés in the stores and stuff like that, but even wines that are available year-round, I think there are a few good examples where you can just pick out wines that are likely to bring more complex flavors, bigger texture, and will work well with those sort of savory and root vegetable based types of dishes, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Your texture. I'm with you on the texture. You want something with a little more weight to it. Does it imply that oak is going to be part of that?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, most of the wines that I ended up picking to talk to you about today are either un-oaked or very lightly oaked. I think that definitely implies texture, but I think sometimes the grapes themselves, just the grapes that you're using or that you're selecting, can bring that richness and that, both in terms of mouthfeel and in terms of intensity and complexity of flavor.
All right, let's start at the top of your list.
Sure.
Ben McPhee Sigurdsson, the drinks writer and literary editor, the Winnipeg Free Press, and a wine guy that you go to. You trust his instincts. The Hermit Crab Viognier Marsan. First of all, I love Marsan. I love Marsan Roussan, and it's one of my go-to winter whites, but tell me about this one.
For sure. Well, this is from Derenberg in McLaren Vale in Australia, Chester Osborne. He looks sort of like Sammy Hagar. He's got big curly hair.
Yeah.
He makes he makes dozens of different kinds of wines. He just, whatever whim hits him, he just decides to make a new wine.
I get the impression that sometimes he gets bored and he just goes off on a tangent.
I think so. I'm sure his investors probably aren't super pleased about it, but anyway, this Viognier Marsan is unoaked, and but those two grapes, those Rhone Valley white wine grapes, Viognier and Marsan, bring big texture, big flavor, some tropical fruit, some little nut and spice notes without being burdened with oak in any way, shape, or form. So it's a fun wine to drink, you know, in cooler temperatures. And we just got our first, I think, which will be a lasting snowfall yesterday.
So. I'm coming to you for your knowledge, but also the fact if you're going to talk about winter, what the hell? Talk about Winnipeg,
exactly.
Winter. Okay.
You come to ground zero.
Now, what would this Dunberg Hermit Crab Viognier Marsan, what would it pair well with? I'm thinking roast chicken.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily do something like that. I mean, the tendency might be to go towards something like a seafood dish just based on the name alone, the hermit crab. But I think so. Yeah, you could easily do something like a roast chicken or like a Christmas dinner type, you know, roast turkey with the root vegetables and stuff like that for sure.
And when we talk about our price points today, you're going to give me the Manitoba price and then perhaps an everything wine price.
I'll do my best. Yeah. So this one is $17.99 and it's at Manitoba Liquor Marts, and that's plus taxes and stuff like that. So I know out west where you are, things are a little different. So I found this one online at Everything Wine for $23.
Okay,
I think it's worth it.
Traditionally, are your wines cheaper there?
Well, see, that like I said, the taxes aren't built in, so it's a bit of an illusion. So you bring it up to the front, and you get the GST and the PST added on, and it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think so.
We'll give
probably
you
pretty much on par.
Audience, we'll give you ballpark. Okay, this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Ben McPhee Sigurdsson from we're both from the land of three name people, and he's in Winnipeg. I'm in the Nanuspe, and we're talking about winter whites. Do they exist? And if they do exist, what the hell are they?
Mm-hmm.
So you found a Cote Dorone?
Yeah, well, I figured I'd go sort of a new world example with the Derenberg and then an old world example too, which is the Gigal Cote Dorone white. It's a blend of Viognier. It's mainly Viognier, but it's got some Roussanne, some Marsanne, and some other grapes, Claret, Bourbon Blanc, and Grenache Blanc.
Wow.
Again, it's all stainless steel, no oak, average 25-year-old vines, really nice complexity and texture, and there's a red version of this wine as well that I think is just a superb value, and this white really holds up, I think.
Wow. Gigal, 2016 Cote Dorone white.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around $25, maybe?
Yeah, I think, ballpark. Like, I think it's around 23 plus all the taxes, et cetera, in Manitoba, and maybe a few bucks more, but taxes in BC. And I found that one as well on the Everything Wine website.
Hey, Ben, 60% Viognier. Great.
Yeah.
15% Roussanne.
Yeah.
10% Marsanne. Okay, if they just left it there, it'd be fine. But then they added 8% Claret, 5%, and then 2% Grenache Blanc. Wow, that's just astonishing.
It's a bit of a dog's breakfast. Yeah, I don't know if that's a consistent blend from year to year. I imagine the top three grapes probably shift back and forth a little bit, and the rest is probably just, you know, odds and ends that they have kicking around in the vineyard or that they don't end up using in other wines. I don't know, but it's quite tasty. And again, this is something I think you could go, like, if you wanted to do like a I don't know, some sort of heavier stew or something like that. You could easily go in this direction with the Gigal.
Gigal, G-U-I-G-A-L. And if you're heading for somebody's place for dinner over the holiday season, that's a bottle you'd want to put on the table.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, a really well-respected Rhone Valley producer, and you know, this is sort of their entry level, and their entry level stuff is amazing. But all the way up to, you know, their big Rhone Valley single region wines are all spectacular.
All right, we're heading for Spain.
Yeah,
Catalunya.
Yeah, the Torres Esmeralda, it's a little off-dry. It's a blend of Moscatel and Gewürztraminer, which are both aromatic grapes. It's a little more light-bodied. It's got a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of spice, and some stone tropical fruit flavors in there. But really great intensity of flavors, and probably would work well with, you know, a little bit spicier dishes or like a thicker soup or something like that, like a nice hearty winter soup. Yeah. I think it's a great value. It's about $15 on the shelves in Manitoba, $14.99, and I think it's $16.99 at BCLDB stores.
Would it work with ramen?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about you know, like sort of heartier soups and stuff, but the little bit of sweetness and the spice would definitely work with something like a hot and sour soup or ramen or any or pho or anything like that. That would be amazing.
It's the Torres 2017 Esmeralda. By the way, this list of Ben's can be found on our website, tastingroomradio.com. All the lists, actually, are on the website. Then we come to the Baby Bandito.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about Chenin Blanc because it's another one of those grapes. It's similar, I guess, weight and texture-wise to Chardonnay, but it's just got a little bit more complex, you know, sort of almost sort of lanolin and stone fruit flavors going on. And this is the Testolonga Baby Bandito Keep On Punching Chenin Blanc. That's a lot of names, but Testolonga is the name of the producer, and the Baby Bandito is the name of the line of wines, and this one is called Keep On Punching. It's got a little, I believe, Vietnamese child that one of the people involved with making the wine took a photo of or whatever. It's from Swartland in South Africa. It's around $20, and it's at private wine stores here in Manitoba. It's not listed at the liquor marts, and I have a feeling you can probably find it somewhere in BC. I looked around at a few websites, and I couldn't find it, but I think it's out there somewhere. It's organic, pretty much a natural wine. I'm sure you've probably talked lots about natural wines
right.
on the show. Chenin Blanc is sort of South Africa's, they're one of their signature grape varieties. I guess they do some Sauvignon Blanc as well in good quantity. But Chenin is just an incredibly, it's got great texture. It's got lots of complexity. And this is stainless steel and a little bit of neutral oak. So no fining, no filtering. It's definitely for the wine geek crowd out there.
It's a pretty
exciting wine. So,
love
yeah.
this. Testolonga, Baby Bandito, mm-hmm. Keep On Punching. It's a Chenin Blanc from mm-hmm. Some South Africa, mm-hmm. In and around $20 Manitoba yeah. private wine stores. Okay, and
yeah.
then you go looking for it, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
talking to Chenin Blanc, is there anything in the Okanagan that catches your...
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, one of the best producers of Chenin Blanc in the Okanagan for me is Road 13.
Right.
I just tried their sort of straight Chenin Blanc recently, one of their straight Chenin Blancs recently, and I've always liked it. Their sparkling Chenin Blanc is a consistent award winner, and it shows so well in competitions and drinks so well on its own. But it's sometimes available in sort of slightly short supply, so I opted to go for something else by them, which is their Honest John's White. It's a blend. I believe the most recent vintage is predominantly Chardonnay, and then it sort of goes down from there to Pinot Gris, Chenin Blanc, Kerner, Viognier, and Orange Muscat. They make a fair bit of it. Like I think they 2,600 cases or something like
yeah,
that.
That's
and
right.
They just do such a great job of all these white grape varieties. The Chardonnay is front and center here, but they do use some of their Chenin Blanc. I'm not sure if they use their older vine Chenin or if they've got some other stuff that they're using, but I'm pretty sure that this one is also stainless steel only. That blend of grapes, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Chenin Blanc at the top with that little bit of Viognier will bring lots of texture. The Orange Muscat,
nice.
A tiny bit, just adds a little bit of... sort of this, that sweet citrus and spice, and not that it's sweet. It's got just a hint of sweetness, but it's really approachable and super versatile.
Ben McPhee Sigurdsson, drinks writer and literary editor of the Winnipeg Free Press. Wine Line, he's a judge, he's an educator, BC Lieutenant Governor Awards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't have enough time to give all of his credits. Thank you for your winter whites.
Ah, same to you. Thanks very much for the chat, Terry. It's been a pleasure. I always love talking to you.
And thank you, Ben. All right, when we come back, conversations with Jason Parks from The Hatch, Val Tate from Bench 1775, and Kathy Malone from Hillside, all of them talking about and recommending winter whites. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer, the Hatching Post Microbrewery, and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like the Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio, and it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and we're talking winter whites. White wines that can carry through the winter with our soups and stews and our pastas and our roasts and root vegetables and all the different changing pairings that happen over the course of the winter here in Canada. This is going to be the speed round. Three winemakers who I highly admire. We're going to talk to Val Tate from Bench 1775. She knows her winter whites, and she has recommended that I get a hold of Kathy Malone at Hillside, just right down the road, which I did. I've got Kathy Malone standing by. She's the winemaker at Hillside. But first, we're going to start with Jason Parks, who is the intriguing winemaker and team leader at The Hatch, a facility that makes an incredible amount of wine under different labels. But The Hatch is what you want to keep an eye on. Let's talk winter whites with Jason Parks, Val Tate, and Kathy Malone.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Jason Parks, who is the winemaker at The Hatch. And how many other different wines, Jason?
That's a tough question. I think there's about 65 SKUs. We saw Rosso, Bianco, we got Flipping the Bird, there's Crown and Thieves, there's Black Swift, there's Screaming Frenzy, stuff like that. There's the Hobo series, which are standalone grapes that sometimes people don't know if they like it or not, that are we feel sorry for, so we try to embrace them.
In your wine world, are there such things as winter whites?
Kind of. I drink the good stuff in the winter, like Boulevardiers and Scotches and stuff, but my wife has her winter whites, and in my mind they're whites that have, I guess it's kind of like a mouthfeel envy. They're whites that want to be a red and that go through a malolactic fermentation. So like a Viognier and a Roussan, those are varietals that are often even used in reds, you know.
Right.
So you'll find Viognier in Syrah, Roussan in Syrah, and then you'll find Syrah in a bit of Pinot. So they're kind of connected. And when they go through the malolactic fermentation, it's converting like the tart tasting malic acid into a softer tasting lactic acid.
Don't go geeky on me, Jay. Here's the thing.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Here's the thing. Which of the whites that you make would classify as winter whites?
Crown and Thieves Roussan.
Yeah.
We ferment it out in steel. We get it into, you know, a big puncheon or a cask that's very neutral. And we put it through that second malolactic fermentation. That's what a red wine would go through. And that's when that conversion happens, is getting it to be a little softer.
And then the second one?
Black Swiss Chardonnay.
Yeah, Black Swiss Chardonnay.
So similar thing, but they go into prettier, more standard, drinkable, friendly, newer oak barrels. Where with the stuff like the Roussan or... We do geek out a little bit. We try different things, so they're a little bit more unique.
Do you remember the price points?
Totally don't.
Oh, fine. Never mind.
Both those wines are over $30.
Okay, fine. Other winter whites that you want to recommend? Anybody around you, or just in the wine world in general?
Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. The Le Vieux Pen Eva.
Yeah.
is good. It's oaked. And it's usually a Viognier Marsan Roussan. Tentage has got a 2012 Marsan Viognier that's real solid.
Wow.
And then international stuff, Yolumbo has got the Y series Viognier, and Connoisseur's got a Viognier as well. And those are like, you know, $15. So those are solid as well.
Way to go, man. That's fantastic. That's lots of choices to take us through the winter.
Cool. Yeah, people can call me. Just give them my number.
I'm not giving out your number. Do you have any one surprise? Because there's lots of surprises coming out of the hatch and the whole, all of your SKUs in their portfolio. Is there any one surprise that you're going to give us in 2019?
Well, the big surprise for us, which is a deeper set than we were working on, is we're having a new location for the Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy wines to go to. So we're building a new winery location.
Wow.
So that's the big hype around here that we're all excited about. But as far as wines, we've got a really good Syrah coming, really good. We seem to have a good grasp on Syrah. I think half of it is where the wines are getting made. It's a pretty funky building, and there's some je ne sais quoi in our Syrahs that they're quite proud of. So.
And where will that new winery be located?
Like 5 minutes away.
Okay.
Country Road still, just closer down towards Kelowna. And we've been working on it for years, and for it to finally break ground, we're pretty stoked.
Winemaker, band leader, and a great guy and friend of the show, Jason Parks, The Hatch, talking about winter whites, etc.
Thanks, man.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
She claims to be the general manager and the winemaker at Bench 1775, but also at the same time, she says that she's the head mopper, which means there's some spillage of some sorts. She is Val Tate, and I found her at Bench 1775. How was harvest, Val?
Oh, it's still ongoing. I just brought the last of the reds in last week, so we still have about 8 tanks to start fermenting, so it's been a long harvest.
I gave you a buzz this morning about this special I'm doing on winter whites. First of all, mm-hmm. Are there such a thing? In other words, because we change what we eat and what gets us through the winter, are there whites that follow? Uh-huh. Does everybody just bail out and drink red, or are there winter whites we can try?
Actually, there's always a place for whites, and definitely, like myself, I'm drinking a lot less whites in the winter than in the summer, but there's some beautiful whites, especially wines that have been aged in barrel or wines that are meant to be aged over time. So there's the classic varietals like Chardonnay and Semillon, White Meritage, which is a wine that we make, which is Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc, that have seen some aging in oak, and they're meant to be wines that are enjoyed over time. So usually those heavier weight whites are the ones you want to enjoy in winter.
Is that Meritage white of yours from Bench 1775, is that the one that won silver, Lieutenant Governor's Award?
Yes, it did win silver and lieutenants, and we've won like quite a few awards with it. We won a double gold, been very happy with how it's done. So yeah, it's been selling quite briskly. We actually don't have very much of it left, so I had to just yesterday pick up a case to put in my cellar because it's going pretty fast.
So is it the Semillon that really makes that work with the Sem Sav?
You know, I think it's a combination of the two. Like Sauvignon Blanc is so bright and fresh, and then Semillon is quite an oily, briny grape, and the two of them together blend really well and kind of support each other. So one's a heavier, kind of fattier tasting grape, and one's very lean and fresh tasting grape. So together, when you blend them, they just make for this really nice balance, but it's definitely a weightier wine. Like it's very big on the mid palate. You can pair it with roast meat. You can even eat it with red roast meat. It's got a lot of body.
I see you give it 12 months in new French oak. Do you make them separately and then blend them at the end?
Yeah, there's actually 4 individual wines that went into this. So the Sauvignon Blanc is made separately, and there's a few batches that went into that Sauvignon Blanc in steel tank. And then there's a component that was aged in barrel. And the same for the Semillon. There's a component that was done in stainless steel tank, and then a component that went into barrel. So when all of those 4 different components are put together, you get quite a range of flavors and textures and weights. And, you know, it makes for something that's got like freshness when you first taste it, but then it finishes a long, lengthy finish with a big, weighty wine.
So maybe the attack at the beginning, that when it first hits your mouth, is the cool of the Naramata Bench, and then maybe the finish is the warmer Oliver grape.
Yes, definitely. Definitely that's the case. Yep. The warmer climate produces that riper, more opulent flavors, and Naramata Bench produces the more lean, fresh flavors. Together, it works really well.
Val Tate, Bench 1775, the GM and the winemaker. Other winter whites, Chardonnay, certainly. Is it one that you recommend or that you reach for?
Well, Meyer Chardonnays are always gorgeous. I really enjoy drinking them. Daydreamer has a beautiful Riesling that's off dry that is very weighty just because it's got this really nice residual sugar that really builds the mid-palate. And that's lovely with food. And it gives you a little hit of like citrus when you're having it with more heavier fatty foods in the winter.
All right. For those of you out there who caught that reference that Val gave us about the 2016 Meritage White, it's almost done. Is there a 2017 coming?
There is a 2017 coming, and very small quantities, actually. Just our wine club will get it. And then there's a 2018 as well. So and I'm just building it. Actually, the wines haven't even finished fermenting yet from this year.
And how does one join the wine club at Bench 1775?
You get in touch with Emily, who's our lovely wine club manager. You can literally just send her an email or send us info@bench1775.com, and we'll happily take care of you. We've got some really nice Christmas packages being offered. So if you're looking for a hostess gift or you want to buy somebody a nice gift, you know, that's actually a really good thing to give people from the wineries in BC. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be our winery, but it's a beautiful thing to give somebody as a gift because it's an experience, especially for people who you're really hard to buy for and you're not sure what they would want as a thing. You can give them wine. Everybody loves wine.
Everybody loves wine. By the way, I noticed the subtle shift there between winemaker and GM. That was the GM talking.
That was the GM talking for sure.
Total,
yeah.
Total.
You know, you can make the wines, but you also got to sell them. That's part of it too. So
she's Val Tate, GM, winemaker at Bench 1775, the team leader. It's quite a team, by the way. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
This is our Winter White Special. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. You can check out this streaming and podcast on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music. And if you do, you can hear the wonderful voice of Kathy Malone, who is the winemaker at Hillside on the Naramata Bench. Hello, Kathy. How was harvest?
Well, it was great. I can say was because we just finished picking a week ago, exactly. But we're still seriously winemaking. Most of the reds are still on skins, but so far everything's turned out great.
Can't talk about winter if you don't talk about winter wines. Now, we kind of switched to reds because there's soups and stews and game and roasts,
yeah,
and stuff like that, right?
So it's fireplaces.
All that stuff. However, winter whites is what we're interested in. And I'm wondering, first of all, is there such a thing? And if so, tell us about it.
Oh, I think so for sure. I mean, I when we talk about summer whites, we're looking for bright, refreshing, crisp, sort of thirst-quenching kind of wine.
Sure.
But there's a lot of whites that are more food wines, unctuous, rich, complex, sort of red wine lovers, white wines. And, of course, anything that has had some barrel fermentation springs to mind for me. And for us, that's our Reserve Pinot Gris. We do two styles. We do an unoaked Pinot Gris as well. But, you know, when the season changes, the Reserve Gris really shines.
How long in barrel?
It was 5 months this year. It's anywhere from 4 to 6 months, I would say, with lots of stirring. So we stir the lees up to bring, weight and into the mid palate.
Sure. And is it new oak or used oak?
It's actually almost 60% barrel fermented, and about half of that is new, and it's all Tokaj. We've always used Hungarian oak, but a few years ago we sort of honed in on a specific cooper that only sourced from the forest in Tokaj, and just love the character of that and how it plays off the Pinot Gris. You know, there's a lovely sort of floral note to the barrel, and it's just perfect for this grape, I think.
You have a neighbor down the road, Tightrope. What do they?
Yeah,
they have a Semsov, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and it's brilliant. I really like it a lot. The Semillon is from a Naramata Bench vineyard that has been around for a few years. So, you know, it the fruit is nice and ripe and has those fig notes, and it's a really nice, complex, again, white wine.
I got to double back on myself here for a second. Kathy Malone, by the way, from Hillside, the winemaker. Your Pinot Gris won the Lieutenant Governor's Award, did it not?
Yes, it did this year. It was very exciting for us. So it took a platinum at the BC Wine Awards. Part of that same judging received the Lieutenant Governor's Award. So.
And is there any left?
It's going pretty fast. We made 380 cases. And I'm pretty sure we're more than, we probably have about 100 cases left.
And what's the price point?
24.
24
plus,
bucks?
You know, tax.
Did you say 24
yeah.
bucks?
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Cheap, right? For Lieutenant Governor's? Maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for the heads up on Tightrope. I'll go recommending Lindsay O'Rourke's white. And thank you for your conversation on winter whites. By the way, last question. I always should ask this question. Any nice surprises coming in 2019 from you that you want to tease us about?
Have you already spoken to Lindsay?
No, I haven't.
I was able to, through Lindsay, purchase some Sauvignon Blanc this year, which I haven't made since I left Mission Hill 10 years ago. And it's probably my favorite grape. So I'm super excited about the Sauvignon Blanc. There's some barrel fermentation, so I'm looking at a Sancerre kind of
right.
style.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And also, I'm really hoping that soon we will be able to put Naramata Bench VQA on our front label.
Exactly. That's coming shortly, isn't
it? Yeah. I think that the next step is for the BCWA, the Wine Authority, to put it forth to the legislature, to the Ministry of Agriculture. And then, you know, it's just a matter of making things official. But well, I think there'll be an announcement in the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Kathy Malone, the winemaker at Hillside on the Naramata Bench. Winter Whites. That's our Winter White special. Now it's up to you. Make notes. Stream this on the website or go to Google Play Music or go to Apple Podcasts. Listen to the podcast, subscribe, and then find your Winter White. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer. The Hatching Post Microbrewery and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like The Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com.